Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Christian Contrast podcast, where we talk about how our walk with Jesus leads us to live differently than the people in the world around us. And I'm excited about this episode, joined by my fellow pastor here at LBF Church, Phil Shabazz.
Hey, man.
Great to have you on here. And we are now going through in this episode, the fourth of five episodes where we've been talking about the habits of the household.
Yeah.
We've been talking about forming faith at home, which has been a major theme for our church over the last, well, longer than the last number of months, but yeah, especially over the last number of months. And so for anybody listening who hasn't been following along, we've been talking about these five habits that we can do in the family that not just sort of our ideas, we believe that they're scriptural, but also data has shown these are really things that move the needle with helping kids who grow up in Christian homes to stay with Jesus and stay with the church.
Right. It's not a scorecard. It's not like a checklist of ways I make sure that my family is close to God. These are habits that we have found, that the data has shown, that college students who have kept their faith in Jesus, kept their walk with the Lord, have had these kinds of habits modeled in their homes.
Yeah. And I love just sort of the overall format for this, because one of the phrases over the last, I don't know, probably 5 years, I found myself, probably sometimes out loud and sometimes just more to myself, that I found myself saying is, does this move the needle?
Yeah.
And just the idea that we do a lot of things, and then we talk about a lot of things, and we're sort of in a culture where sometimes the things that we're championing sort of put us on the right side of an issue, but don't necessarily have a practical impact. Mm-hmm. So the idea that for parents who are saying, I love my kids, I want to do a good job with parenting, I want my kids to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm kind of flailing around that, as you said, this isn't a scorecard. There are no guarantees, but these are things that really seem to solidify young people in their faith, help them to have a faith of their own so that that carries on after they're out of the household.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to having spiritual responsibilities at home or faith-forming responsibilities at home, I think modeled behavior is very much a foundation for that. And it's part of what I wanted to ask you.
So real quick, before you ask that, just you already brought it up, but habit number four that we're talking about is spiritual responsibilities within the home.
Yeah.
Probably some overlap to habit number three when we talked about serving.
Sure.
But some differences here. So go ahead and kind of kick us off.
And I think there can be quite a bit of overlap with all these habits.
Absolutely.
I was curious, Dan, was this particular habit something that was modeled for you as you grew up?
So what I would say is yes, but a lot of it was through being a part of a church and my parents involving us in a part of the church.
Yeah.
And I'll be real as we get into this, of the five habits, this was the one that I felt like least awesome about how I'm doing in, and really had to kind of think and say, all right, maybe there are some things that I need to go back to or do.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, and we've talked about this in the previous episodes, man, giving your kids the gift of not just sort of moderate, but real commitment and belonging to a church is one of the greatest gifts we can give.
For sure.
And through my belonging to the church, there were opportunities not just to serve alongside my parents, but to serve when I was in high school, getting to serve as a Sunday school teacher, having those spiritual responsibilities. My youth pastor, given some of us when we were upperclassmen, chances to teach a shorter sermon, but sort of still a sermon, which now when I think back on, I'm like, wow, that was like 8 weeks of inferior content that equipped all of us.
It's formative.
Formative for all of us.
Yeah.
And so there are things that I look back on where I say, through my parents committing us to a church, I ended up with that.
Yeah.
In the home, I found this a little trickier.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious for you, you know, you're a very intentional dad with your four kids. So I'm curious how this one struck you.
Yeah. And the way I thought about it was very similar to what you described, in as much as I think, and that's why it's so important for us to all understand, like, we're two pastors here who haven't got this perfect. And this is why we can't look at it as a scorecard, because you went through a bunch of, you just described a bunch of spiritually formative, important moments that didn't have something specifically to do with this habit, right? And I immediately began to think about my dad. growing up in Chicago, watching him at the church, watching how he modeled his behavior with folks. He would take me to, he'd oftentimes speak at camps, like in the Ozarks, up in Wisconsin, etc. I would go with him to these camps. And it wasn't like I was participating, but what I was doing was watching as he spoke and watching as these high schoolers and college students would sing their hymns, sing their worship songs, and I would sing with them, right? I was part of all that. And then I thought, what about at the house? Like, I don't know that I was, that he was having me practice these things in the home specifically. And then as we moved to Turlock and I got older into junior high and high school again, I was like, I don't know. Like, the spiritually formative things that were happening in my life are very much, I very much connect them to my father, but they were happening either in the church that he was a pastor of, or part of the sort of smaller youth group in my dad's church, because it was a smaller church. And then we'd go to, I would attend youth group with friends at the larger churches in Turlock. And then we'd end up being part of a ministry or part of a mission together or something like that. Like, all those things are the things that I remember. But when it comes to, for example, something we do in our home is every now and then we will take and assign one of the kids to take us through their devotional after dinner, right? And sort of just describe to us what their learning was from that. And then that not only spurs conversation, but then also spurs teachable moments for Amy and I to be able to help them better understand what it was they just described. Real similar to what you described earlier. And I don't know that that was happening when I was younger, but that's something that's happening now that I'm happy that we're able to add. And again, just for everybody watching or listening, it doesn't happen every single day. Doesn't happen every single week necessarily, but it is something that is a consistent feature of what we do in our home.
Yeah, and I love that. And that was, it's interesting because right now, sort of our dinner habit with where we're at right now, you know, our oldest is off at college most of the time. So we just got two in the home, you know, a high schooler and a sixth grader. And so with our current LBF Bible reading plan, we're there's a morning reading and an evening reading, and the evening reading is through Romans.
Right.
And so, you know, we've been typically when we're home for dinner, God willing, we'll do it tonight because I think we're all going to be there. I'll read the chapter, and then we'll have a conversation, and everybody knows, everybody's going to say something about it.
Sure.
And so there was a season where we were doing something similar, but I actually had assigned, like, on Mondays, it's Matt who's going to read it and say something and sort of initiate it, similar to what you said, which did make me think it'd be good to go back to that. But even within what we've been doing, the fact that everybody's going to contribute, that it's not just me sort of giving a sermonette and everybody says, thanks, Dad, and leaves the table. But I mean, I think it was just yesterday when we were doing my son, Jack, his insight was not just something that sort of benefited all of us and pointed towards a specific reality, but was something that was an insight into the fact that God has a calling for him to be a light at his school.
Cool. Yeah.
And so there was this really cool moment where not only did Jack have the opportunity to say something that was spiritually oriented that benefited me and Karina and David all at that time, but it was something where we were able to then encourage him in the idea of, you're not at school just to sort of get through. You're there to be a light for Jesus, and him feeling the weight and the calling of that responsibility. And also the idea that the part of the passage that had stood out was, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
Of him feeling empowered of, I can move forward in this because of this reality.
Yeah. And so, you know, similarly, like, oftentimes the kids will feel prompted to invite somebody to church. And so we might have to help them set up and guide them towards it. But then I hope that parents listening or watching can understand that even just that small moment of encouraging them to take that step to invite somebody to come to church or come to youth group with them is a way of giving them spiritual responsibility.
Absolutely.
Home, right. And a couple things, like, as you were talking, that I thought of were, number one is modeled behavior. Number two is creating space. And I think oftentimes as parents, we get nervous about, how do we do that? How do we create space? That's part of what I like about these habits, is because if you create space for dinner, because we both referred to dinner. If you create space for dinner at the home, then you're going to create space for dialogue. You're going to create space for spiritual dialogue and moments like these.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And so that is the hope that if you try one, and we talked about this a number of months ago, like if you just shoot for one, then you've created at least one day of space within the week to assign spiritual leadership in the home, to assign something to your kids so that they can work on these things. And to not be afraid to do it first yourself and then pass on that activity to the rest of the family. And so very similarly, the four of them have different devotionals and they're going through them at different lengths at different times. And it's been really fun to be able to have them take and sort of do a 5-minute mini devotional to spur on our conversation, to begin our conversation. And then from there, there are potentially new spiritual responsibilities that could possibly come from that. Inviting someone to church on Sunday, having the courage to speak to them about youth group, having the courage to speak to them about a spiritual matter maybe they feel uncomfortable with, or it might even just be helping encourage them or know that they've got the encouragement or the ability to be able to have a tough conversation with somebody where their light can be shown. Mm. All that can be part of that conversation, all from just giving them one small thing to do. And I'd encourage parents from just reading a couple verses all the way through to reading a full chapter, as you described, the Bible reading plan or a devotional. All these are really wonderful ways to create space and get dialogue happening. And especially if in your home, that space doesn't exist, if spiritual dialogue isn't happening, to create some space like after dinner or during dinner is a really wonderful way to do it. Because I know at our home, as soon as dinner's over, they are back to their rooms doing homework, right? You want to take advantage of that time. And what we try and do is make the initial part of our dinner time be about what's going on, what's happening. And I always tease the kids. I'm like, tell me something. What are the 17-year-olds of Glendora, California talking about these days? What's going on? What's happening? What's taking your attention? And then we'll transition over to devotional time.
Yeah. Well, and part of this, and I think you've alluded to it with some things that you've said that was occurring to me, and this is a big Phil Shabazz, you know, sort of thing that you talk about a lot, is just inculcating in our kids the idea that they have spiritual gifts, that they have something that they're created, first of all, that we're created in God's image and there's dignity with that, but that if our kids are believers, that they are spiritually gifted in a certain way with a contribution.
Yeah.
And so looking at that, and this is one of the joys of parenting, is when you get to sort of get to know your kids and see what they're bringing and, and see what they're good at and encourage them toward that. So, I know multiple of your kids serve with Life Kids, my kids as well. Jonah serves with the camera and is using his gifts there in great ways.
Yeah.
But maybe you can just talk a little bit about that. This is something I think in a way, even though there's overlap between this and the conversation that we had about kids serving.
Right.
The difference in this is that some of this might be more facilitation, more of what you were saying, creating space, creating encouragement.
Right.
So that some of the actual serving that's going on is a bit more launched than even necessarily right under our supervision.
Totally. So there is I'm glad you brought this up. That's where I was going as well. There's a wonderful connection to serving at church because now you're having additional spiritual conversations at home. And also creating space for spiritual conversations and spiritual responsibility at home that's connected to church as well. And so being able to sort of identify the kids' gifts and sort of looking at and having conversations about what is God gifted you with? What are you talented with? What are you drawn to? What makes you excited? What energizes you is sort of what has helped them land at the places that they are serving at church. So in one of those ways, like for Cedar, for example, one of the ways she expresses herself spiritually and takes spiritual responsibilities through her sticker business. Mm. So I'll give her sticker ideas sometimes and she's like, it's not me. It's not what I want to do. But she's got this wonderful way of taking verses that are important to her and attaching really wonderful visuals to those verses and then creating stickers out of it that she's able to sell and enjoys that time. It really does feel for her like she's doing something that's part ministry and part business oriented at the same time. She's exercising a variety of different muscles at the same time. Now, she used to be involved in children's ministries in Life Kids. But then she was like, I think maybe there's some benefit in trying to explore an area that I might not be as comfortable with. So now her and Amy are serving in the coffee house.
The coffee house.
They're serving in the coffee house. And Jonah is using his strengths because he loves and is talented and is energized by working in video and technology. So he's serving in that space. And then both Jordan and Jeremiah, who just have these wonderful serving hearts, are serving in Life Kids. And so as a result of that, as a result of being involved in the church, spiritual responsibility is being shown itself in the home, and they're interacting with church on their own, from scheduling to how things are going to maybe what areas I can, like with Cedar, for example, what areas should maybe I think the Holy Spirit is leading me to transition to, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, you know, you used the term making space earlier just for these conversations, for this encouragement. I think this is another thing as we're thinking about those of us who are parents, how we can do things in this area, to think some of it might be that we place special priority in helping make it a reality when we see our kids starting to respond in these areas.
Yeah.
Because we all know we can get busy, we can be tired of being the taxi service
for sure,
and sort of things like that. But to say, all right, if there's an opportunity, if there's something that involves mom and dad, I kind of want to do this, but it would involve us getting there early on Sundays.
Right.
Or it would involve an extra weeknight or me getting there early on Wednesday night for youth group or whatever it is, that we could end up sort of unwittingly, because we're looking at our busy schedule and we're saying, gosh, with these other things, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
For us to look at those and say, gosh, those should be a higher priority than many of the other things that we will make sure that we do. Just for us to say, if the Lord is moving in this way, if the Holy Spirit is leading you and you're responding, it's sort of like even at a 10% clip, we're going to knock down heaven and earth to get you into that opportunity so that you'll get that. Because some of the people who might do some of the empowering are going to be not us. That this is where it seeps into habit five that we'll talk about in the
mentoring
next month. But to get them into those spaces where we're showing them, we value that you have something to contribute. And so we're going to make sure that we facilitate you getting there, because you not being there is worse for everyone, because you're important. You have something to contribute. And if you're not there, that thing is missing.
Yeah. And one of the ways that's like, I found it interesting that I never considered that because of our schedules, because of our busy lives, we as parents can end up standing in the way of some of those spiritual experiences because we're also, you know, crazy with our weeks as well. But my hope is that if we can make it a priority, as you described, then God's going to work out the details for us. And in our house, for example, now with Baja, for example, we've got three kids. Amy and three of the kids are going to be able to go to Baja. And there's commitments that are going to be foregone. Jonah can't go because he's got a commitment that he cannot get away from that's out of town. So I'm going to accompany him on that while Amy and the other kids are still able to go to this other trip. And it's not like Jonah's not participating in that trip. So he's participating in the fundraising and taking a portion of his tithe to give towards the other three kids and Amy to be able to go to Baja. So even though he can't go on the missions trip, he's still somehow spiritually involved. And it would not have occurred to him to step forward in that way had we not been having these spiritual conversations in the home.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the things, as we think about sort of maybe initial steps into this for parents that might say, you know, because even we're acknowledging this one, maybe even more than some of the others, is a little bit, it's taken us a little bit to sort of crack this nut and figure out what this looks like. So for parents that are kind of looking at this and saying, I'm not quite sure what to do on this one, we've mentioned some different things, but one thing that I would throw in as a possibility is, there are lots of great spiritual gifts, inventories, sort of tests, or just even reading through the passages and encouraging kids, like what do you see yourself as gifted in? You know, great questions to ask, because sometimes it might be a little bit of a head scratcher, but sometimes for kids, it might be real obvious. In fact, it might be obvious to parents too, where they're just sort of putting a label on something that the kid already knows is there. So part of this might just be starting the process of drawing out the idea of, I have something to contribute. I'm gifted in a way of contributing. in a way that it might not be on their grid, where they'll be thinking, I'll do that when I'm 25, but until then I'm a junior member of things and I don't really have anything to offer. Mm-hmm. Just to start down that road of saying, hey, let's look at the scripture. Let's all take this, you know, all members of the family, let's all take this together. None of those tests are foolproof, but they're conversation facilitations. So that could end up being a next step of just getting that on the radar.
For sure. And I actually just recently saw some video of one of our life groups where the kids were leading worship for the life group. And that was really, really cool, because that may be a door that could open in your home as well. If one of your kids really loves music or is talented Absolutely. With music, to give them the space and the permission to be able to maybe lead a worship song or lead some worship. Dan, I think one of the ways to at least creak open the door as well is to, if prayer is an intimidating thing in your home, or prayer's, if you're not sure about how to pass on prayer to your kids, rotate who prays for dinner. Mm-hmm. That's a simple step, right? We do that on our home. Just rotate who prays for dinner. And then before you go to bed, rotate who prays before you go to bed. I think prayer is a wonderful entry point as well. And then maybe some of the things that we're talking about might feel like, okay, well, you're talking about your mature junior high schoolers, or they're at a level of maturity that may be different than elementary school kids or even younger, but their prayer or their devotional mm-hmm. does not have to be perfect. It does not have to, like, it's very likely that they're not going to, that it might be a little bit more difficult for them to be involved in things at church. But even standing, if you volunteer in the coffee house and you're giving out donuts, for your child to be standing next to you when you're giving out donuts at church, it reminds me of the kind of sort of entry points that I had just watching my dad when I was younger.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad you mentioned that too, that there's a couple that are greeters mm-hmm. For one of the services. And they frequently have their kids standing right
next
to them.
I love that.
And it's one of my favorite things, because I get to talk to the couple, I get to high five the kids, and the kids, the way the parents are handling it is the kids feel a sense of, this is my job too. I am part of the welcome committee here.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to see, because they're having it modeled, and they also at least have some sense of, it's important that I'm here. It's important that I'm here helping people feel welcomed as they're entering into a time of worship.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. Yeah, all good ideas.
Yeah.
Important thing is to take a step, create the space, take a step.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that that's true of all these things that we've been talking about. And so it, just as a word of encouragement to those of you watching and listening, these things can feel daunting. A lot of times the first step is the hardest step. And so just starting onto that first step, whether it's saying, we're going to start rotating the prayer time, as Phil talked about, whether it's in the Bible time, we're going to have everybody share, whether it's we're going to have a spiritual gifts conversation, whether it's asking the kids about that, taking that first step, often God opens up the clear next step after that first step. So we encourage you in all of these, as we continue to foster these habits, as we continue to lean into these, that we would be people who are looking to set up our kids for a lifetime of joyfully following Jesus and being a blessing and being blessed within that. Also, just to say, we have lots of past episodes of the Christian Contrast podcast. You can comment on this one. You can find all of our episodes either on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church, or on our website, lbf.church. We love to have interaction about those. So if there's a question, an idea, a pushback, a request for some sort of episode, you can feel free to leave it on that. And we come out with new episodes of the Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. So thanks so much, Phil, for being a part of this conversation.
Yeah, and I also would say, like, if anyone watching or listening to this is doing something in the home that we didn't bring up, or has, like you suggested, an idea or something that we haven't talked about, we want to hear about that.
That's great. Yeah, we want to keep the ideas coming. The more, mm-hmm. the better. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for everybody for taking the time to watch or to listen, and we'll see you in 2 weeks with a new episode.